The time is now 7 o'clock. I'm calling to order the Papin, Missouri River Natural Resources District Board of Directors meeting on October 13th, 2016. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Anybody know? It's not an NFL game.
A copy of the Open Meetings Act, Nebraska Rev State Statute 84-1407 through 84-1414 is posted on the back wall of the meeting room. Prior to turning to the agenda for tonight's meeting, I would like to announce the procedures that will be used for this meeting. With respect to each agenda item, the directors will hear the subcommittee chairman's report with their proposals and recommendations. Then the public will be given the opportunity to address the board chairman. Lastly, the directors will discuss the item and take action. All questions and comments will be addressed to the board chair. We ask that the public not interrupt the director's discussion or actions. Thank you. With that, item three, quorum call, please.
Bond.
Present.
Frank Thomas.
Here.
John Thomas.
Here.
Fowler.
Here.
Frog.
Yep.
Lakey.
Here.
Bragg.
Here.
Thompson.
Here.
Woodle.
Here.
And Sheriff.
Here. Agenda item number four, adoption of the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and second. Roll call, please.
Frank Thomas.
Aye.
Thomas.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Frog.
Yeah.
Lakey.
Yes.
Ray.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Poodle.
Yeah.
Bonnet.
Yes.
And Sherper.
Yes. Agenda item five, adoption of the consent agenda.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Roll call on the motion.
John Conley.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Frost.
Yeah.
Lakey.
Yes.
Ray.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Poodle.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Fred Conley.
Aye.
And Shepherd.
Yes. I have an affidavit of proof of publication for this evening's meeting that will become part of the permanent record. Moving right along to agenda item 8, agency and association reports and presentations. 8A, the Greater Omaha Chamber, David Brown, President and CEO. Good evening.
Good evening. Obviously, I have something on your agenda that piques the interest of the public, so I will be somewhat brief this evening. I get to have an opportunity every year to come and thank you for your investment in the regional economic development of the chamber and give you a bit of an update. We have provided you with the annual report for 2015 and then the first three quarterly reports for 2016, so I believe that they're all in front of you. Just a couple of highlights. We have been able to already land about 80 projects this year. For us, a project company that is making an investment or creating jobs, and it's a project that we've had something to do with. That's generated about $305 million in capital investment already, more than 3,000 jobs. We've had a productive year so far. A couple of big projects that you have heard about, the Costco chicken processing facility up in Fremont. Said that project is a done deal, so we'll be looking forward to a groundbreaking in the spring. That'll create about 1,000 jobs in the Fremont area and result in about $400 million in investment. But it's one of the larger projects, particularly in manufacturing, that we've had in this region in a long time. And then you may have also heard about the large data center project that's happening in Starkey County. It's about there's 600,000 square foot data centers in that Highway 5370 corridor. One of the big challenges in that project was to make sure that the agreement, the lack of agreement that existed between Springfield and Pavilion and Starkey County on zoning jurisdiction could be resolved. And you may have seen it last week. All of those jurisdictions voted to agree to a separation of where each entity is going to actually expand to. And as a result, that project can move ahead. So we're hopeful to have an announcement of that probably in the first quarter of next year. So two very large projects combined with a lot of other smaller projects that we've done this year, we should have another banner year for economic development. A couple of key things to thank you particularly for. John has been working with our team on a lot of projects this year. Of course, the levy project, which I understand is why a lot of people are here today, was really a major step in the right direction for us to be able to not only resolve the levy issue and FEMA flood map issues that, of course, have come up through the last year or so, but also enable us to generate about $100 million for runway expansion improvements out there. That levy work had not been accomplished, we would not have been able to get the funding for the runway improvements at the airport space. So thank you very much for your work on both levy as well as on that base. And right now we're working with John pretty aggressively on an industrial site in Bellevue. And we're trying to get to a point where we can actually recreate a site that has been vacant for a long time, but to find a way to get that property on the market and usable. So we have found ways to be partners in projects that I think make a difference to you and to us. And we continue to try and create more and more projects across the region for our town fellows. So thank you very much for your support, and I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions from directors? Director Leahy.
Yeah, a couple last time you were here, you talked about the Urban Land Institute study. What's happened with that in the year? I mean, where are we at?
Yeah, the Urban Land Institute, you may recall, came in and did an activation study out along the riverfront and recommended several things. They recommended really two paths. One is to develop a redevelopment strategy for the riverfront on both sides of the river, and the other is to develop an activation strategy to bring more activities along the river. We have taken on the activation strategy part of it. We created a group called the Missouri River Commons, which is a committee of the chamber. That's a partnership between us and Council Bluffs. And we now are in the middle of raising about $600,000 over a three-year period to hire a director who will be a staff person within the chamber, and their only job is wake up every morning and try and figure out how we can do have more activities happen on both sides of the river and Council Bluffs on one. So by January, we should have that person on staff, and there's been a marketing strategy completed. An asset map is just about completed now, what's available on both sides of the river. And we should be out there promoting for more festivals and more activities along the riverfront starting the new year.
And then you mentioned the Bellevue industrial site.
Yeah.
Isn't there a North Omaha industrial site? Like the city had plans to, the city of Omaha had plans to develop, and then the environmental study went to heck, and so...
Yeah, we spent a lot of time trying to find a large tract of ground in North Omaha that we can build industrial property. And, you know, North Omaha has a lot of big properties, mostly residential, and if you find places where you can find industrial zoning or industrial properties, they tend to be relatively small. In this particular case, we found a 78-acre piece of ground that we thought was perfect. And then we did an environmental assessment and found that it had about 15 feet of rubble over the top of the property. And it was about a $22 million environmental fix. So it made the ground totally unacceptable, not only from a development perspective, but also. So we need to hear about the business now, trying to chase down property that maybe even as small as 10 to 15 acres and put one or two manufacturing projects on those, rather than trying to chase down a great big, we just literally haven't done.
My question with that huge acreage of property in North Omaha, it can't be used for development. Is there some possibility that it can be used for some aspect of flood control, right? Is that at all potential?
Too far away?
There'd be nothing to, or nothing to protect from or to. I mean, there's just no flood danger or risk there at that point.
I mean, there's still a lot of urban development where the water's got to go somewhere. I mean, couldn't there be some kind of, or maybe even recreational.
It'd have to be a recreational, because there's no major creek or tributary or anything that would go to that particular property that you could build anything.
We're trying to figure out how to use the property, but you're right. It's a great piece of property.
Yeah.
Better than some kind of empty lot, you would think. You know,
it'd have to be a recreation green space.
Yeah. George Thompson.
My comments turn into composting site so we can get back to composting. I haven't had time to read this, but I looked through it. The photography is exceptional, extraordinary. So pass that on. And I didn't find any credits in there, but the visual aspect is, yeah, that's fantastic. But I'll sit down and read it later and digest it.
George Fowler.
Yeah, just a good question. We're talking about the riverfront. Any further information on further development along Conagra, as well as where we're tearing down the old restaurant? And can you elaborate on where that's kind of going?
Sure. I can give you some general idea of what's happened so far. So the other half of the ULI study said redevelopment strategy. several foundations in Omaha and Council Plus approached Heritage Services and asked them to orchestrate a redevelopment strategy along the riverfront that would go from essentially guess, north of where Gallup is to about the railroad bridge south of the old OPPD power on both sides of the river. And they have carried out that study. They looked at what else was out there already, tried to figure out if there were pieces of that, of those studies that were still helpful. And they've come back with a recommendation, at least some series of recommendations to the Heritage Service Board, which have not been made public. I imagine that the Heritage Services Board will deal with them, will at least look at them for the first time probably in November or December. That looks at areas including Heartland American Park, you know, the property right next to the Niagara campus. We happen to be involved in the redevelopment process, or at least the planning for the redevelopment process and Niagara property. So there are a lot of moving parts. The good news is all those parts are talking together. So when one study is announced, it'll have taken into consideration other discussions that are going on. So I fully expect that sometime in the next few months, we will hear about a redevelopment strategy for that Niagara campus and the land that Niagara owns up against that park. And then that will feed into whatever development strategy is ultimately decided upon.
So that goes from the Heritage group. From there, does it who do they go to after that? I mean, yeah. Does that go to several entities and everybody comes back together in kumbaya, or how does that work?
Well, you always hope there's a kumbaya moment at the end.
You would hope.
There's no guarantee that there's going to be one. Well, Heritage Services, as you may know, is really just a collection of an organization that is represented by folks who are large philanthropists in the region, who have funded things like the Holland Center, put the private money into the Central Link Center and the TD Ameritrade Ballpark, Libraries. But they fund large projects with, in many cases, they actually are the construction managers of projects too. In this case, they've been asked to do the study, but ultimately the study will be presented to the two cities to figure out which projects. Because both City of Council Bluffs and City of Omaha are party deal. So I would imagine the next step is that they will say, here's what we think the projects are, and then that will be presented to the two cities' planning departments to see how it fits within master plans, how it fits within their public work process. So it'll eventually become public and have to go through the public process. The process now has been a privately funded study that's going to be presented to the public.
Okay. I just hope the public has a good say in this, because when Jobbers Canyon went away and Conagra was there, and we would hope that we'd have a beautiful riverfront with public input in the future, where someplace like San Antonio, they have a gorgeous riverfront, and it's not just about developers, it's about people of Omaha and how our city has bloomed where other cities have not. So I hope they take that into.
You know, I think I got this dream that on a Saturday morning in the summertime, you wake up and the first thing you think about is, can I get my kids to the river?
Exactly.
And we'll get there. I think that's really what the ultimate goal of the process is, how do we make it more accessible? How do we get people there? If you ever try to get people directions on how to get to the river downtown, well, it's pretty tough too. Mm-hmm.
They can just use our trails.
And it shouldn't be difficult to get there. So I think we're all working towards the same goal. And in the end, there'll be an awful lot of public discussion about it.
Thank you.
Director Conley.
Mr. Brown, can you publicly identify the site of 70-some acres that was just prohibitively expensive to develop because of environmental? Has that been announced?
Yeah, it's at the corner. We call it the Ames Locust site is what we call it. But essentially it's about 11th Street and Locust Street, the southeast corner. Okay. And then it carries up by 14th Street, so it's kind of a trapezoidal-shaped property.
Kind of down the old public works area down there?
That's actually further north.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you.
Yeah. Any further questions for Mr. Director Conley?
Does the chamber have any involvement in the redevelopment of the crossroads? Are you involved in any of that?
Only from a perspective of trying to keep up to speed on what's happening, and then ultimately, if we can be helpful, we have them and we'll be. I understand that that's
any. Any further questions from directors? Thank you so much for your time tonight.
Thanks again for your time.
Thanks, David. And moving on to 8B, Natural Resources Conservation Service reports. Neil Jensen.
Good evening,
Neil.
I got kind of a short report, but I just instead of explaining about a program or such, just kind of what do we do. In our field office. This fall, going to be a busy course. Truck fields are starting to open up. Last I heard, we're basically 3 days behind schedule previous year, but we're getting geared up to prepare state waterways. We tend to do about 50 to 75 jobs in the fall. A lot of them equipped. Also, we've got 8 contracts that have to get written here within the next couple of weeks. 8 participants who are renewing their CSP contract. These are contracts go 5 years, another 5 years. Some of the practices that they do looking at all these contracts, cover crops, big one, does a lot of erosion control, water quality, a lot of practices. Water quality, including split nitrogen application, PPS target spray, plant tissue. A lot of this affects how they're put on their chemical rate. Also, there's a lot of wildlife. A couple of them are going to be doing pollinator habitat in the contract area, leaving standing grain out of the field for wildlife, also some grazing management. They'll graze the land a little bit different to try to provide wildlife. Good to see that we're getting a lot of contracts. Also, another huge workload for us, wetland. We've got about 100 of them to do here. About the next 16 days, give you an idea, we get about 900 plus throughout. Busy fall. The other thing, go to the next page. Yesterday, a couple of us from the Papio NRD went over and helped the Lower Platte Forest do their land judging competition. They had it at Lake Wanadu, rec area, Doris, one team competition, but there's 13 schools and 177 students that participated. This is one of the sites that the students judge. They judge 4 different sites, and they have to turn it. This is a lot of the staff that help. There's a lot of Lower Platte South. Also, big group. Get that. Any questions?
Okay. Thanks so much, Neil. Moving on to 8C, Nebraska Association of Resource Districts, Director Rich Teaser.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The NERD annual conference was held the 25th to the 27th of this past month. The business meeting aspect of it, 2 resolutions, both of those passed, and I think for the first time there was no one opposing any of the resolutions. In fact, it took longer to read the roll call than to go through the business meeting. And some of the sessions, if anybody has any question about the ash borer, I am now an expert. So
I think we all are now.
Yeah, I think yes. So it was pretty informative, but it was a very low-key session, and it's kind of nice to have those once in a while. That concludes my report.
Thank you, Director Teaser.
I got one thing too. Just real quick, and I just wanted to add, they give an update, a yearly update on the NERD health insurance program. And if you remember, the NERD is a self-funded plan of all the district combined. They gave some statistics. Over the last 10 years of the program, our premium increases have been 4.49%, and the national average has been 14.5%. Obviously very rare in the industry. And if our premiums would have followed the national average, our premiums would have doubled in that time frame. And so we actually in 14-15 had a decrease of 2.5%, which is unheard of as well. So obviously it's managed very well, it's run very well, and it's a direct savings to the taxpayer. Obviously, if we can continue to keep premiums down, and we're going against the grain with the national average. So I just thought I'd highlight that because it's quite rare. And actually, we continue to get requests from other municipalities and units of government to join the plan because of the success it's had. So, but we continue to turn them away as that would, it violates the rules. So, so yeah, I just that's all I had for that.
Thank you, John. 8D, legislative report, Josh Blackwell.
But one thing I did want to know, being new chair, that's going to get so some of the different main reason it's all about so staying very busy. The main things that I think
Director Fowler.
I know you don't have a crystal ball, maybe a good one, but who do you foresee taking over appropriation?
So,
Okay.
Anything else from directors? Thank you, Tim.
Thanks, Tim.
All right, moving on to agenda item number 9 is a public hearing for the modification of the Missouri River Federal Levy R613 and R616 project. General Manager John Winkler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll call the hearing to order at 7:25 p.m. The second item, or third item on the agenda, is the evidence of the proof of publication of the hearing notice. The publication was, the hearing notice was published in the Omaha World Herald on September 30th and October 6th. Agenda item 4 is the explanation of the purpose of hearing. Mr. Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Winkler. Fred Meyer with the Law of Blackwell. This hearing is being conducted in compliance with the draft of the revised statute 25-2534. The purpose of this public hearing is to explain the nature and necessity of the modification of the Missouri River Studies R613, R616 project, and the reasons for the project. Each owner of the property required by the district. Negotiate that check off and by additionally each owner of land to be acquired has the right to acquire determined acquisition by the same at the hearing district here in the
thank you, Mr. Meyer. Agenda item 5 is the identification of the exhibits. Exhibit 1 is the agenda itself. Exhibit 2 is the notice of the proposed acquisition and notice of public hearing. Exhibit 3 is the proof of publication of the hearing notice affidavit, which again was in the Omaha World Herald September 30th and October 6th, 2016. Exhibit 4 is a project design fact sheet, map, and cross-section. Exhibit 5 is the project right-of-way map. Exhibit 6 is a list of landowners sent certified mail. A notice of proposed acquisition, notice of public hearing. Exhibit 7 is the certified mail return receipts of the acquisition in the public hearing. Exhibit A is the interlocal agreement with Omaha, Bellevue, and Sarpy County. Exhibit 9 is the critical infrastructure facilities cash fund contract between the Nebraska Department of Natural Resources and the Papio Missouri River NRD.
Agenda item 6 is the explanation for the modification of the Missouri River Federal Levy R613 and R616 project. Paul Woodward.
Good evening. My name is Paul Woodward. I'm the project manager for the project. On behalf of our directors and staff here, I'd like to thank everybody for attending. I'm going to review as kind of background, why are we doing this, the location of the project, what are the proposed modifications actually for the levy, so you'll understand that, and then what is our kind of upcoming schedule process. The fact sheet goes through the fact that the existing Missouri River levee system was built in the 1970s and 1980s. It protects from flooding from the Missouri River, the Platte River, and Pavilion Creek. Protects the major infrastructure, as we've noted there. But really, the reason that we're going through this process at this moment is there was other floodplain mapping going on in the Pavilion Creek watershed. And as a part of that, there's an updated flood study on the Missouri River. Those two things, when they eventually do become part of FEMA's flood map, would have required that our levees meet certification requirements, or basically meet federal standards. And the only issue that we're coming up on, that I'll talk about tonight, the reasons we're doing the modifications to the levees to meet those standards is, one, because of height in different locations. So there are, because of the new updated flood information, there are some heights where we have to raise to meet the new requirements. Also, analysis has shown that we do need more seepage control on the levee, and we will be at the same time improving the culverts and the penetrations. So I'll review what that is. Just scroll down there, Bill. Currently, we do have multiple funding sources in line to help us build this project. You see the two different costs there for each segment, adding up to about $20.5 million. Where we're at in the process, real quick, on the schedule, we don't anticipate construction until mid-next year. What we're doing right now is we're still in design review. We have 100%, what's considered 100%, plans and specifications and reports and all that information. It's currently being reviewed by the Corps of Engineers at this point for both their approval as far as the levee design standards and their approval as far as environmental committee. Go ahead and scroll down. The location of the project, the two different levee systems protect on the north side and south side of the Pavilion Creek. The levee unit known as R616, these numbers just actually refer to approximate river miles on the Missouri River, so that's why they're given these names by the Corps and us as the sponsors working with the Corps. I'll review some of the different design aspects, but basically when these two systems, this system was built a little bit later than the two levees that go back up the patio and the agricultural levee built along the Missouri River and up the Platte. So, interestingly, this levee was built to a different flood level at that time in the 80s than the other one was built to in the 70s. So our lower portions that we're going to have to raise are on the older sections of levee along the Papillion Creek, go down a little bit, Bill, down here along the south, along the Missouri River, and then on the levee as you go up the Platte and tie up along Highway 75. The locations where currently where the levee exists is where we're going to do the improvements. So it's really just expanding on the levee where it's at. Go ahead to the next sheet. This sheet, the different colors give you an idea of the different amount of raises that have to be done.
Got that in my information.
As you go up towards from yellow to orange to red, that increases in height. So up to Papillion Creek, you kind of see what I just described. The elevations get higher. We have to raise it a little bit more. We're actually not proposing to have to raise this newer section of the levee, the top of it at all. Hopefully the trail will be maintained there. The improvements there are to have to control steepage on the back side. We think, well, I guess go down a little bit further there, Bill. Yeah, and then you see that there are some raises that occur along here, generally in the range from 1 to 3. And all that fill is done on the back side. Go down one more and I'll show you. This is a typical example. Back up one more time so we can see all those. They're right. Okay, so this is the existing levee embankment as it sits today. What we'd have to do is build off the top of that. This is the river side over here, and this is the dry side over here. Place fill to build it up to the level that it has to be. And then a lot of the locations, the new areas that you're seeing on the land rights maps that every landowner should have received, was a lot of the additional areas, this seepage control berm that needs to be constructed in certain areas. We came to the conclusion of where that needs to be based on a lot of detailed geotechnical investigation, and plus the 2011 flood happened to show us a lot of places for seepage. So gave us a good indication that what we were doing seemed to be correct. So those berms are only constructed where necessary. That's why you see differences in the land rights bump out here or go back in here. That's the difference you see. I mentioned the raise. There is in a confined space just downstream of Fort Crook Road, we will have a short flood wall on the north side, kind of on top of its location there, but on the north side of levee there. So, although we are saving part of the Bellevue Trail right along the Missouri River, there will large sections of that will have to be taken up and replaced along the Plain Creek. Go down to. I think that covers most of it. There are to tie the levee back off. I should have noted this when I had the map up there, but they're up at Highway 370 at the very north end. Currently, that. Usually controlled by sandbags. We do have to go to a structure there. So we'll build part of that in place. And if it ever had to be done, these gates would be put in to basically close that area off. And that would affect. We have to coordinate all that with the railroad. And then Highway 75 still actually gets to be, that's not as big of a height difference. That can still be a sandbag close that. Only one pipe in the entire project is going to be completely ripped out in place. All the others will be rehabilitated in place. So I think I've gone over what we're proposing to do. The schedule for right now is, like I said, there's still some review and permitting going on that will be still taking place. We estimate over the next 6 to 9 months. This, in that time, 30 days after the hearing, first time you hear about any offer from the district, but we're actually going to be over 2 months after, a month or two after that, we'll be getting in appraisals as they kind of, the appraisals are currently taking place. And you will probably be contacted by the appraiser if you haven't. I think that goes over the entirety of what I needed to review, and we'll be happy to have any of your comments here at hearing when John says so, and we're always available for questions if you have.
Thank you, Paul. Agenda item 7 is to receive testimony and statements. Is there anyone in the public that would like to provide any testimony on the project as presented? Okay. Anyone second notice? Is anyone interested in speaking? And third and final opportunity. Okay, seeing none. No. Okay, seeing none.
Excuse me. Was this for questioning?
Yes. If you have questions or statement or.
Got just a couple quick questions here. I'm Steve Ferrobet. I live along R-616.
Okay. Could you give your address real quick, just for the record? Sorry.
224 Missouri River Road.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
One of the things that I had a question on is, I know Paul had talked about 616 not really being raised. At this point, can you tell what the elevation is between the Iowa side levee and R-616?
Paul, do you want to go into detail on that? Paul, you can just stay up here just in case you have.
Yeah, okay. We currently don't have the exact elevations of the Iowa levee, but we have worked with Iowa in reviewing some of this, and the our side of the levee, because it was built, that portion of it was built at the same time I was built. They happened pretty close to the same proposed design. We're actually not, if anything, any of the improvements we're doing, we're just going to equal the other side.
So elevations are pretty much equal on both sides currently.
We think they're pretty close to similar, yeah.
All right. On to some of these permanent easements that are going to be required for seepage control, that landowners will be limited on what they can do from what the information is being said. It will be a grass type of vegetation that will be put in there.
Right.
Is that something that the landowner, being that it's just permanent easement that the NRD will not acquire, that's something that that landowner can still utilize, harvest, do something with, and other vegetation? I know you're trying to control seepage in the erosion of ground, but other items such as alfalfa, which is a deep-rooted item that can go, be gone in and still harvested, are options like this available, or what can you tell us on that?
Okay. Currently what we're working on there is that the through the easements, the area would still, backside berm would still be available, of course, for access. The requirements in the easement and that the Corps' requirement is now is that there be no row crops or production on that berm. What we're proposing then is we would have to have a native grass established there. I think we would still work with each landowner on the ability to simply hay that, but not put in any other type of vegetation, simply because the that specific native grass is what the Corps is requiring. The only other thing to note about the berms that we're working with, if there are an existing pivot system or irrigation system, we would plan to work with the owner to allow it to continue. You know, we wouldn't have to modify it. It could go across the berm. We just wouldn't be watering any crop. That's currently what we have.
Right. And at this point, I know you said that there'll be a lot of variances where, because of the sand boils that occurred back in 2011, are there any drawings or maps stating, besides this little color sheet that folks have sent out, that gives more of a distance, dimensions on how far you're going to want to come out at the different locations to get more of a footprint of what you're proposing on the dry side?
Yeah, Bill, if you could go to that one other, the last part of that. No, not that one. Go up a little bit there. So yeah, you go down right there. There will be legals and everything as we go into the information here, so all that will be provided. But what's being asked of us right now is the dimensions for most of the backside berms that are required by the Corps are 150 feet from the center line. So in general, those are 100 feet or more from the existing toe. Probably, let's say you want to step it off and look at it after I get 20 feet where we end up. When you get to the end of that berm, it's only about 2 feet tall from existing ground. So it kind of ties right off.
Yeah, it clarifies a little bit more until legals come out to where we landowners can actually see where and what's going to actually be done. And that comes into another question: is the current fencing that is on this on these levee systems, will that remain where it's at now, or will it move out to the extreme limits of permanent easements, or what's going to happen to the fencing to control unwanted drivers?
The existing fencing that's there, if it is impacted by a berm, would be removed. Most of it's going to go, along most of the backside berm, all that's planned to go back in there is the right-of-way markers. There'll be a few more of those put in, but most of the sections of the berm, there won't be a fence put in there that's still going to allow landowner access.
Oh, will it?
The
entire length, yeah. A lot of it does. Some of it is not there. But, there's a lot of joyriding that goes on, especially when there's access to county road. So I was just concerned when you did a couple of them sand boils 2 years ago, come in and refence, because there was a lot of the beams that it was open that was direct access to the levee system. And then up on a nice paved bike trail that was excellent AT traffic. And so the folks finally got that under control. So that's my concern, is how are you going to control access? You're going to remove the fence for some of these areas. How are you going to control access to people coming off county road or public access points get right up on the levee?
I assume beams that you want the native grass NRD, then we'll do all the seeding and yeah, then all the grass
that'll be
that you're looking for.
Yeah, that'll be completed as part of the project.
And will that be something that NRD will then maintain, keep weed control under the weed pressures under control? And then if you happen to have an area that dies out, or they can come back in, or folks can come back in and reseed to keep vegetation growing?
Yeah, as part of operation maintenance, that would be our requirement.
All I have, Brad. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, sir. Okay, anyone else would like to provide testimony or statements?
Yes, please.
Okay, third and final time. The agenda item 8 is the reception of exhibits, and the hearing is adjourned at 7:46 p.m. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, John. Moving on to agenda item 10, the Washington County Rural Water System Lakeland Connection Project SRF loan. Zach Nelson.
Where's Zach? He's trapped in the corner.
He's talking to you all night.
Good evening. This agenda item is essentially the same thing that was discussed at the September subcommittee meeting. It is what's necessary in order to have an SRF loan to fund the Lakeland Connection project. If you recall, we did not have 8 board members at that September meeting, so as a result, we've been.
Yes, we need the resolution. It's a lengthy one, I believe, so you might want to just refer to it on, it's in the green sheet, agenda item 10, authorizing the issuance of Series 2016B bond in a loan agreement promissory note. And Bill, could you just kind of scroll through that? It's available, so it's available on the board.
What page on the green sheet?
It's a page 1. through.
Is it 48?
49.
So to refresh everyone's memory, too, would have been the August 4 meeting to authorize the award of a construction contract to Erickson Construction to install this lake link the Sage Water Company connection to Maine. That work has been awarded. Erickson is on site. One that Maine right now. Mother Nature has not cooperated the last 2 weeks, but we're making progress. The goal is to have the system operation, hopefully sometime done on this. That is allowable per the SRF guidelines. So essentially, once we approve the bond resolution, we then start submitting invoices on the SRF.
Thank you, Zach. The recommendation is that the general manager be authorized to execute the Nebraska SRF loan in the amount not to exceed $350,000 under the following resolution that is on the board be adopted. Can I get a motion on the table, please?
I move approval.
I'll second.
All right, we have a motion and a second on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors? Director Frost.
I'm supposed to be a 10-inch pipe that they're putting in. I've been up and down Highway 133 a million times on corn, and there's a blue pipe that they're sticking in. Didn't look like it was anywhere near.
There's several work that's going on right now for country land. The development that's on the west side of Highway 133, they're having to bore under Highway 133. They're served by a 6-inch main. The way you probably saw it down around County Road 30, but the main that is going that we're putting in.
Any further questions from directors?
Remember, 8 votes are required to pass this resolution.
Right. Seeing no further questions, roll call on the motion.
Fowler.
Yes.
Frost.
Yeah.
Layton.
Yes.
Ray.
Yes.
Peter.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Yes. Bonnet.
Yes.
Brett Conley.
All right.
John Conley.
Yes.
Yes. All right, moving right on to agenda item 11, Washington County Rural Water System 2011A, bonds and Washington County bank loan refinancing. Once again, Zach Nelson.
Okay. So once again, too, if you recall from our discussion at the September 7th meeting, as part of this process, being the SRF loan, we looked at rural water system bonds. Given the interest rate market right now, refinance systems bonds, it seemed like the right thing to do. Next bond resolution to refinance at a lower interest rate.
And also with this refinancing, we're paying off the loan to the Washington County Bank.
Right.
So thus we'll just have the bond funds, not the bond funds and the loan. And that has always been an issue because we were just paying interest for a while, and we'd have to renegotiate interest rates every few years. And so it's a good thing to get that taken care of, and then you only have the lower interest on the bond rate. So plus we save money, so. Good way all around. 8 votes again are required on this.
Thank you, John. The recommendation is that the general manager be authorized to execute the refinancing of the former Washington County Rural Water System number 2011A and Washington County bank loan, and that the resolution that is on the board be adopted. Could I get a motion on the table, please?
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion and second. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors? Seeing none, roll call on the motion.
Ross.
Yeah.
Leahy.
Yes.
Ray.
Yes.
Peter.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Poodle.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Brett Conley.
Aye.
John Conley.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Yes. All right, moving right along to agenda item 12, subcommittee reports, 12A, Personnel, Legislative, and Public Affairs Subcommittee. Director Fred Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Be it resolved that the minutes of the October 11th
2016 meeting of the Personnel, Legislative, and Public Affairs Subcommittee are accepted and incorporated in these amendments, and the following recommendation of the subcommittee are hereby adopted and approved. 1. Federal Government Representation Contract. Recommendation that the General Manager be authorized to execute the proposed contract with Water Strategies, LLC, the provision of federal government representation services, further terms and conditions as presented to the subcommittee, subject to changes deemed necessary by the General Manager and approval as to the form by the District Legal Counsel, and I so move.
We have a motion on the table. Is there anybody in the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors? Seeing none, roll call on the motion.
Leahy.
No.
Ray.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yeah.
Thompson.
Yes.
Poodle.
Yeah.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Fred Conley.
Hi. Right.
John Conley.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Frost.
Thing.
Yes.
That concludes my report.
Thank you, Director Conley. Agenda item 12B, Programs, Projects, and Operations Subcommittee, Director John Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Be it resolved that the minutes of the October 11, 2016 meeting of the Programs, Projects, and Operations Subcommittee are accepted, incorporated in these minutes, and the following recommendations of the subcommittee are hereby adopted and approved. Item number one, the subcommittee heard an update on the draft Lower Platte River Basin-wide Water Management Plan. This was an informational action, and no action was taken by the subcommittee. Moving on to item two, Amendment 6 to the Professional Services Contract with HDR for Papio Dam Site 15A. Subcommittee recommends that the General Manager be authorized to execute Contract Amendment 6 to HDR's Professional Services Contract with Papio Dam Site 15A Project in the amount of $191,738, bringing the total not to exceed contract amount to $3,997,287, subject to changes deemed necessary by the General Manager and approval as to form by District Legal Counsel, and I so move.
We have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or director? Is Director Frost?
I was approached by one of the contractors, and HDR accused them of letting the concrete freeze. So they did a DNA boring of the concrete and found out the concrete did not freeze. And so now we're stuck with an $11,000 bill for that test. I don't think we need to be paying for that. If they want to pay for that, they can. But it's not up to the contractor, and I'm pretty sure they're going to bill us for that, and I don't think that's right, when they knew that it did not freeze.
Any other further comments or questions from directors?
Just for my information, $191,000 would come from where?
It'll come from the funds that are allocated to that project, so it won't affect the overall budget. It won't be taken from another project or program. In fact, that project is under budget right now, so that it'll just come from those funds.
Can we get a clarification? Laura, do you have any word on this thing, or from an HDR standpoint? I'm just kind of curious.
Sorry. We did have some issues with concrete floor last March. The concrete was poured out of compliance with the specifications in the contract. The contractor was notified that they were pouring out of compliance. The temperature was too low. The wind was too high. They continued to pour anyway. Under our contract, we have the full right to make them remove and replace the entire pour. We opted to have the testing done. As an intermediary measure to see if it was actually structurally sound or if there had been some damages due to the weather conditions at that time. The testing was not $11,000.
And something.
No.
Got it right from his mouth.
Oh, okay. Well, I did pay the bill, and it was about $4,000. So, you know, and we found that it did meet the compliance, and we're still working with them to try to resolve some of the other issues.
So we basically, by doing that, you save the contractor a whole lot of time, effort, and money if they would have to tear it out and replace it, all at their cost. Yeah. Okay. Any other questions?
No. Thank you. Appreciate that.
George Conley?
I have a question. Why any of that would be a cost to the NRD? It looks like this is a cost for the contractor to be out of compliance with a concrete pour and yet get it accepted. I would think the total cost would fall to the contractor, and I hope that we don't see any of that coming through for payment.
Okay. We did end up paying for the test because all of the tests have passed. It passed all of the required quality control testing. There was nothing defective. But again, we needed to make sure because of the temperature at when the concrete was poured. There was nothing wrong with the concrete.
That's not the point.
Yeah.
May I continue, Mr. Chairman?
Please do.
That's not right. They had specifications to follow. They didn't follow them. Tests were done to say, okay, even though they didn't do the job right, the end product was acceptable. That cost should fully be on the contractor. Not $1, in my judgment, should be the cost of the NRD. They followed the contract. They would not have poured. The test wouldn't have been necessary. This is a justification for the contractor to get us to accept work that was not done in conformance. It shouldn't cost us a nickel, nor should it cost us the extra engineering time. We ought to backcharge the contractor for that. This is I don't know how big this concrete pour was. Could you tell me?
No.
It was a big pour over several days.
It's expensive. It's expensive pour.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think I made my thoughts clear on this.
I completely agree with Director Conley's comments. I don't believe this is directly related to the agenda item that we're voting on this evening, though.
You're right.
And any further questions on the specific agenda item? I would like to have staff follow up on Director Conley's comments.
Well, if you direct us, we'll bill them. We can have that argument then.
Okay.
Okay.
Director Frost?
It was on the boat ramp.
Yeah, that's pretty tough.
Most of it was done in the underwater.
That's tough.
All right. Any further questions from directors? Seeing none, roll call on the motion.
Ray.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Poodle.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Brett Conley.
Aye.
John Conley.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Frost.
No.
Leahy.
Yes.
Jefferson.
Yes.
Moving on to item four, or item three. Interlocal agreements for Southern Sarpy County Watershed Partnership. Subcommittee recommends the general manager be authorized to execute the proposed interlocal agreement for the creation of the Southern Sarpy County Watershed Partnership between the communities of Bellevue, Gretna, Papillion, Springfield, Sarpy County, and the NRD, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approved as formed by district legal counsel, and I so move.
All right, we have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors? Director Leahy.
I'm going to make a motion to table this for another month. I don't know what that does to the timeline, but I mean, this is a pretty important partnership, if you will. I remember when we talked about it in July, we talked about sort of what was the timeline for implementation. We said we'd get something in October. Here it is. But I was told.
Point of order, I don't think we discussed a motion to a table.
All right. I'll make the motion to table. If I get a second, then I'll discuss it.
You don't discuss a motion to table.
Is there a motion to second the table?
Second.
Seconded by Director Frost. Roll call on the motion to table. Agenda item number three on the interlocal agreement for Southern Sarpy Watershed Partnership.
No.
Thompson?
No.
Little?
No.
Honest?
No.
Brett Cummins?
No.
Doug Thompson?
No.
Fowler?
No.
Ross?
Yep.
Lindy?
Yes.
Ray?
No.
No. Right, the original motion is still on the table. Director Leahy.
Well, now I'll just make comments. I mean, I'm not saying that I'm going to be against this. In fact, something is probably better than nothing, and this is something, right? But I take a look at this, and it looks like a lot of copy and paste from the Papillion Creek Watershed Partnership, which some people would say, oh, my gosh, it's a rousing success. But I think there's others out there who said, boy, that could have been better. And we've had 20 years to rethink some things and maybe make that better. And so now here we are copying and pasting a lot of stuff that may not be the best thing that we can get right now. And just because it worked in the Papillion Creek Watershed Partnership, who's to say that that's going to work for a completely different area with different needs? I mean, just certain things on the water quality aspect, like collecting the first half of inch rain. I mean, I think 20 years ago when the Papillion Creek Watershed Partnership was put together, that seemed like a lot of rain. Now we're going through events that half-inch rain really isn't much. So there's a whole host of things that I just think would behoove us to take a little bit more time as directors to take this partnership around, question a little bit more, look into it before just moving ahead with it. I don't think we're in any rush. I don't know if any of these other entities have already approved it. So they'll...
Yeah, they have.
All of them?
Not all of them, I don't believe, but the one of the issues is the fee structure that they're talking about is being proposed to start December 1st. And you have, I know, for example, David Brown touched on it, you've got several projects that, big projects that will be paying those fees. In fact, they're working them in if it's adopted. If not, then they'll plat and they won't have to pay the fees. So that's a little bit of a time frame here. The issue, too, and I don't want to cut directly off, but I think you see a lot of copying and pastes because most of the communities are involved in the Papio partnership, but there's not enough information in the Sarpy area now where we're talking about to really say that these are going to be the policies. We have a lot of hydraulics to do, a lot of hydrology. There's a lot of things we don't know. And so I think those policies and those goals will be a lot different as this process goes forward. But if you look at the area between here and Gretna, and just check at the bulldozers over here just south of Elby's along Highway 370. I mean, things are moving, and they're moving very rapidly. And so I think the communities got together and said, we have a structure in place. It might be totally different once we're done, but we have a structure in place. Let's emulate that for now, at least get started, and then we can get these fees in place and we can get these general rules in place. And we can help guide development so we're not coming back 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now saying we really should have did this and now we're stuck. We're in a corner because all of this activity has happened already. Springfield has a subdivision going up as we speak, just east of the community. So things are moving forward. We have a model. Now they want to kind of use that as the skeleton, and then we can flesh out the bones and the meat and everything later once we have the technical information of what this watershed looks like. And I think that's why people want to get started. We got a lot of work to do before we formulate anything. And the longer we wait, just the more things will happen, and it's going to be harder. So I think that's kind of the idea. It won't be the same. I mean, there's different needs. It's a whole different water. There's different watersheds. They're different geography, different soils, so it'll look different.
So there's sort of a couple points that I have to that. I mean, it's all right. I think this partnership, I mean, as it's written, is a little bit more than just the bones, though, when you have a fee structure in place for, I think it's the next 5 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if we still don't know so much about where we're going with this partnership, why not just make the fee structure for the first year or two, so we can retake a look at it a little bit sooner than 5 years when so much will happen between now and 5 years, and maybe you weren't exactly right.
It's a three-year agreement, and the issue with
the fee structure goes 5 years, doesn't it?
No.
Right. But what we've seen was 5 years. So, I mean, has that changed from? No. I thought it was five.
From July, it did, yeah.
From July to now.
Okay. And the thing with the fee structure is we want to start collecting that private developer money now. And that was kind of the issue with the partnership, is the private enterprises, the private community going to participate? And so that money from that development will play a key in funding all of these things. And so the public's not on the hook for the full cost of figuring out what this plan is. And we're catching development fees before they start. Because I can tell you, just by working on the current projects, they say, can we get this platted before your fees start in December? And there's more than them trying to figure that out. Now, if we wait another 6 months, you're going to see so many plats thrown down at the county that it'll make your head spin, because they're going to try to not have that extra cost. And so the idea was, let's get this in place, start collecting those fees before these guys get out there and start building these projects.
And I knew if I asked for the table, people would start to think I'm against it. I'm not. I absolutely agree with the vast majority of what you just said there. We need to start collecting the fees, et cetera. But I want to express sort of my disappointment with, and this goes back to even something that my predecessor said. I remember when I was just watching the board way back as a pup 4 years ago, where with stuff like this, we get it, the Friday before the Tuesday subcommittee, and there's a lot to digest in here, where especially after we had the conversation after July, I'd say, when will we see this? Oh, we'll see it with some time to make a judgment. But no, here we are in October. We get it, and we need to make a vote within a week before. We're always just sort of like under the gun. If we don't do this, oh, we're going to lose these opportunities. I don't understand why we can't sometimes get these things with a month or so to go collect a little bit more public information and a public comment on it, not in a formal sense, but to see how it affects other groups. Because, I mean, this, even though this is for communities in South Sarpy, because we're talking about development, it affects people in Benson and Dundee in my district. So that's my concern. I just want to air that out there, that I think we should, for stuff like this, get it with a little bit more time than just a five-day turnaround to make what's pretty important decisions on this kind of stuff. And it's a little bit of, we'll just pass it now, we're going to figure it out later. I've heard that before when it came to, this is a bad analogy, and I think Jim knows where I'm going to go.
Don't.
But I've heard that before in federal legislation. Pass it now, and we will figure it out later. I don't like that. So that's why I just want to express my concern with the staff. I don't think that this process was handled in the way it should be. Doesn't mean I'm against it. There's a lot here that I do like. I mean, if anyone has been following my message on the board, absolutely. Just collect those development fees and do some more LID that they're talking about in this agreement. But I just wanted to get that off the chest. I was hoping that we could table it for a month, because I think even if we vote in November, we'd still have it in place by December to collect those fees. I've said my piece.
Just a couple of things real quick from staff perspective. I mean, that's why we presented it in July. And so we tried to jog that conversation and input from directors or the public on, and I heard nothing. And so we obviously have partners in this, and those partners count on us to do our part. So, I mean, we're attempting to do that. Now, this is a three-year agreement. If at the end of the day in 3 years this board is not satisfied with the final product or what we're doing, then we simply not approve the agreement, and it ends. And we can say, sorry, Sarpy communities and Sarpy County, you're on your own on this one. And we simply walk away. And so you have another opportunity, or there will be other interlocal agreements that will have to come forward to this board to implement the things that the studies say or the things that the technical data say that we need to do as far as action items. At that time, you also have an opportunity to say, we just think this is not working, we don't like the setup, and you'll have an opportunity to exit the agreement or to turn down the proposal. And so you've got multiple opportunities to have input, to shape it, and then to ultimately reject it or approve it as it comes before the board. So we have to start somewhere. And we're not going to have something perfect probably for a while. It's just not possible. We don't know enough to put anything together. This is the best we can put together at this point.
Director Thompson?
Yes. Thank you, Director Leahy, for not mentioning that person's name and spoil the karma of our good natural resources here in Nebraska. Sarpy County being the most growing county in the state, and you've heard me before saying on these other projects we're behind the eight ball. We keep playing catch up. This is a good example. Get rolling with it right now. Developers will pass the costs on to the buyers of the land and so on. So it could affect the individual. It will affect the individual. But when I think of the, is it Fox Run? Not Fox Run. What's it?
Forest Run.
Where a developer buried a creek and didn't tell anyone, and we're suffering because of it. We, meaning those in charge of flood control. This is an example. If this such an item like this were in place back then, it wouldn't be the problem we have today. So, yes, it's boilerplate. Will it work? I think it will work in the long run, and I think it'll be probably more than 3 years. But it's a good recognition of what we need to do and stay ahead of the curveball. Or stay ahead of the curve and not behind the eight ball. And so I'm going to vote for it.
Thank you, Director Thompson. I'm going to go ahead and reflect Director Thompson's comments on that. But I will say that I am openly say that I apologize to any staff members that Director Leahy may have compared to Nancy Pelosi. Any other comments from Director Thompson?
Well, I think it's important. This may not be a perfect document, but it's a good start. And we heard that this, if we don't pass this, the potential is for a race to plat. And if you plat, you're exempt. And we don't want to see vast tracts of land platted out that would not be subject to the flood control regulations. So by getting this in place, it'll keep people from beating us out of that by racing to the Sarpy County and getting a plat file. So I think it's important to get it started.
Any further comments from Director
Leahy? I'll just comment to Director Leahy that 5, 6, 7 days turnaround on this is a lot of time to absorb everything that's in this. And a little more time on some of these things would be greatly appreciated.
Director Leahy,
I do have a question. Of the other communities who have not approved it, when are they going to approve it? And when, if we pass it, it won't take effect until all the communities pass it.
Okay.
So what's their timeline?
Do we know? This month? Yeah. I think it was approved already. Sarpy County? Oh, I thought, okay, excuse me.
It'll be, some communities will be, and then everybody will be.
Okay, so it's all on their agendas for this month. Okay, sorry, I misspoke on that.
This is just a general comment, but it always seems like when we're in these interlocal agreements, I don't know if it's just our meetings are earlier in the month than the other ones, we're always the first one through the chute, it seems like. That's just a general observation.
It's just our timing. Our
is that it?
A lot of city councils have 2 meetings a month, and we maybe just fall on the early part. Any further comments or questions from directors? Seeing none, roll call on the motion.
Yes.
Poodle.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Brett
Conley.
Aye.
John Conley.
Yes.
Dowler.
Yes.
Ralph.
Yeah.
Leahy. Holstein. Gray. Yes. Peter. Yes. Yes. Are we ready to move ahead, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, go ahead, Director Conley.
Okay, item 4, bids on the 2017 district vehicle and equipment items. Subcommittee recommends that the following items be accepted. Bid item A is 2017 John Deere 6145R cab tractor. Recommendation that the bid of $64,765.19 submitted by Plains Equipment for 2017 John Deere 6145R cab tractor be accepted with the trade-in of the district's 1998 John Deere 7810 150 horsepower tractor, and I so move.
We have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors? Seeing none, roll call on the motion.
Poodle.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Brett Conley.
Aye.
John Conley.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Cross.
Abstain.
Leahy.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Bid item B is 1/2017 full-size crew cab four-wheel drive pickup truck. Subcommittee recommends that the bid of $24,769 submitted by Gene Steffi for a 2017 Ram crew cab be accepted with the trade-in of the district's 2006 Ford F-250 4x4 extended cab pickup truck. And I so move.
All right, we have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors? Seeing none, roll call on the motion.
Bonnet?
Yes.
Fred Conley?
Aye.
John Conley?
Yes.
Dollar?
Yes.
Ross?
Yeah.
Leahy?
Yes.
Caesar?
Yes.
Nelson?
Yes.
Poodle?
Yes.
And Sheriff?
Yes.
Next item is bid item C. The subcommittee recommends that the bid of $8,155 submitted by Pender Implement for a 2017 Rhino 4155 Pro be accepted with trade-in of the district's 2008 Rhino FR15 mower with front-end loader. And I so move.
Once again, I have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff? Directors, Director Frost.
On this, I believe you had a bid for it. 2016 instead of a 17, the brand new mower. At the end of the day, when you go to trade it in, you're going to get the same thing.
The issue with that, I think, and Nicole touched on it. The spec was 2017, and so not all the bidders bid a 2016. They may have had a 2016. They may have had a 2014 that was brand new. And that was not the requirement of the spec to bid that mower. So if you accept that one, it's unfair bidding practice because you did not give all the bidders the opportunity to bid a different model than what was spec. And so then you have a violation, and we might have a little legal problem if, in fact, that you allowed that. So if we're going to allow that, then we should give a range of years or some other type of, if it's 16, 17, or 15 through 17, and allow all the bidders to do that.
Let's do that then.
Any further comments or questions from directors? Seeing none, roll call on the motion.
Fred Conley.
Aye.
John Conley.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Ross.
No.
Leahy.
Yes.
Ray.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Poodle.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
And Jefferson.
Yes.
The next item is 1/2017 utility work machine toolcat. Subcommittee recommends that the bid of $43,150 submitted by Bobcat of Omaha for a 2017 Bobcat 5600 be accepted with the trade-in of the district's 2004 John Deere Gator, and I so move.
We have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors? Director Frost.
What is this going to be used for?
The toolcat is built here. Or Zach?
No, I can't.
Okay, Zach. Could you come up here, Zach? So yeah. Thanks.
So recently, I believe last year, year before last, we bought a toolcat down here at the park. Can use it similar to a Gator for hauling things, but also has a front-end loader on it, similar to like a Bobcat here. So it'll be used for shoveling snow off of like the Bald Hill office, Dakota City office, out at Cramper Lake, as well as just moving dirt, logs, things around some of our other dam sites. The Gator we currently have underpowered and just doesn't operate very well.
Thank you, Zach. Any further questions? Director Conley.
I've got two questions. I noticed they bid different horsepower. Was the horsepower specified? I looked at this correctly, there were some of the bidders bid different horsepower engines.
Nicole, the office.
We
We can get that back to you, John. I don't know. I'll pop my head.
Yeah. Okay, you don't know. Okay, thank you.
Any further questions from directors?
We've used gators for a long time, right? Do we have any other gators? Was that the only one?
There may be one more.
Do we have implements and equipment, parts or anything stocked up for gators?
The gators are pretty much, these tool cats are a much better piece. It's like apples and oranges. The gators pretty much can drive around.
The point was the new ones have a lot more capability.
Right.
With attachments for the gators.
Do we have
any
equipment to dispose of, I guess?
I think from the subcommittee meeting, he said no. We don't have any.
I don't.
The point was going to a more capable
right
piece of equipment.
If we do have a gator, we'll phase it out in another trade-in, probably.
All
right. Any further questions from directors? Seeing none, roll call on the motion.
John Thompson.
Yes.
Alvin.
Yes.
Rob.
Same.
Blakey.
Yes.
Ray.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Poodle.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Right.
Aye.
Yes.
Next item is the FY 2017 Long Range Implementation Plan. Subcommittee recommends that the fiscal year 2017 Long Range Implementation Plan be approved, and I so move.
We have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Good evening, Sean.
Sean Watts, 10404 North 132nd Street. I don't think your mic's on, by the way. I never heard anything all night. But I guess my thought question is my issues at the subcommittee meeting, were there any changes made to the IPA numbers? And I didn't receive any information.
Yeah, we're still working on the response to your questions. I think I can get them to you tomorrow. Just in between meetings, it's tough to get all the information sometimes. But Eric, do you want to go over some of the specific changes, and then, but Sean will answer those.
Online, the changes?
Yeah, it is.
Not
yeah.
Yet, but oh, not. Will be posted probably tomorrow morning.
Okay.
So you're going to vote on a document that's not complete?
No, it is complete. The resolution says it changes by legal counsel and general manager, so they're minor modifications. They don't affect as far as the overall budget, you know, in totality. So this is a document that doesn't tie you to any projects or programs. It's simply a planning document that's forwarded to the state to meet a requirement.
Specifically on the IPA, the revenues and expenditures are
committed. Any further questions from the public? Staff or directors? Seeing none, roll call on the motion.
Ellis.
Yes.
Ross.
Dane.
Lady.
Yes.
Ray.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Poodle.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Fred Conley.
Aye.
John Conley.
Yes.
And Sheriff.
Yes. That completes my report, I believe.
Thank you, Director Conley. Agenda item 13, the Treasurer's Report. Once again, Director John Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Before I go into my report, I've got a question. I came across an invoice, and I sent Mr. Winkler a note, and he's not had a chance that I know of to answer it yet. But I was a little bit surprised and set back by $13,000 of bike fix-it stations with pumps and have to pour pads to install them and so forth. But do you directors know we're doing that? Are you aware? Any of you aware of that?
It's approved in the budget.
I don't think it's approved, but I don't recall hearing a discussion on it. And I would think that this is going to grow because we're going to have to pour concrete. We're going to have to install these things, and I'm rather disappointed that I'm asking for a report to be made next month to directors on this project, what it is and what it's intended.
Eric handles that, and we'll put it on the agenda for you.
I'm not asking for a motion on it. I'm just asking for a report.
Okay.
Okay. And with that, I praise your report consists of items 10A through 10I inclusive, and I move their approval.
Second. All right, we have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors? Richard Thompson.
Yeah, I don't know if it's part of this treasury report and the motion, but the same bike repair stations are in this particular motion, I'm all for it.
As am I, as I could have used them on a time or two. Any further comments from directors? Director Bonnet.
Mm-hmm. We talked about those. We just didn't oppose them. I do have a question for our treasurer. You mentioned a $4,000 check. You questioned Lori about that. Did you write the check or did she write the check when it comes to any check?
Well, the staff has checks prepared, and if this right staff member's recommendation is on there, I'll sign it. And normally it'll come through with the project manager's signature on it. And if it's, I would defer to the staff to say if that has been paid with a progress payment to either HDR or to the contractor. I honestly don't know. I don't know whether or if that was paid. That would be up to the staff to tell us. I was totally set back by that at the meeting tonight. I didn't have any advance notice, so I looked it up.
Be paid to HDR.
Lori, did you want to clarify, please?
It went through on the purchase report last month, and it was paid directly. So if we need to, we'll look into everything, and if we need to, we can do that.
That's satisfactory.
Yeah. It is.
Mm-hmm. Any further comments or questions from directors? Seeing none, roll call on the motion.
Ross. Shane.
Lady.
Yes.
Ray.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Woodle.
Yes.
Bonner.
Yes.
Hi.
John Thompson.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Ross.
Yep,
I'm sorry, Kenny.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Director Conley. Agenda item 14, legal update. Brent Meyer. Do we have a motion to go into executive session?
To discuss my
current litigation.
Current litigation.
Okay. I'll motion.
Second.
Right, we have a motion and a second to go into executive session to discuss current litigation. Roll call on the motion.
Maggie.
Yes.
Ray.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Woodle.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Fred
Conley.
Aye.
John
Conley. Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Ross.
Yeah.
And
Chairperson. Yes. Okay. This is executive session, seconded by Bill Ray. All right, we have a motion and a second to exit executive session. Roll call on the motion, please.
Ross.
Yeah.
Lady.
Yes.
Ray.
Yes.
Peter?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Woodle?
Yes.
Bonnet?
Yes.
Fred Conley?
Aye.
John Conley?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Fincher?
Yes. Thank you. All right, moving on to agenda item 15, Chairperson's Report. 15A is the appointment of Ad Hoc Consultant Selection Subcommittee for the Southern Sarpy Watershed Partnership Request for Proposal. For that subcommittee, I will be the chairman, followed by Patrick Bonnet, John Conley, Jim Thompson, Ron Woodle, and the alternate will be Director Rich Teaser. Moving on to 15B, the Pepe Missouri River NRD Board of Directors meeting schedule for 2017. We have a motion on the table. Can we get a motion for this? Rich Teaser.
I'd like to make a motion to amend the November meeting and push it back 1 week. You're moving the committee meeting the day before the general election. Half of us are up for re-election and campaigning.
No, this
is for next year, for 2017.
I'm sorry. Okay, I was referring.
Have we verified the May city primary? We're not stepping on that election, are we?
Don't know. That would be the...
Yeah, May 2nd is
the primary, I think.
Yeah.
Or we're a week after, I guess.
Yeah. We're the week after.
All right, can we get a motion on the table?
I pause that.
All right.
I move Jesus' apology.
Thank you.
All right, we have a motion by Director Bonnet. Do we have a second?
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Anybody? Do we need any public comment on this item? Staff?
Yes.
Directors?
Seeing none, roll call on the motion.
Lindy.
Yes.
Gray.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Poodle.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Gray
yes.
Conley.
Aye.
John Conley.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Cross.
Yeah.
Yes. Next, the May 2017 subcommittee meetings will be held on Monday, May 8th, due to the municipal election being held. So that's the old one. C, reschedule the November subcommittee meetings to Monday, November 7th, due to the general election.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Director Teaser.
Can I make a motion that the committee meeting and the board meeting be put back 1 week due to the elections and campaigning of the after board?
Is there a specific date?
Well, Tuesday, and, I don't have a
specific date. It would have to be the 15th or the 17th. Following.
If you moved it back a week, 15th to 17th.
Is that a motion over there?
Yeah.
I'll second it.
All right, we have a motion and a second to move the meetings back 1 week or forward 1 week to the following week after the election. Director Leahy.
Are you in comment?
Yes, please.
I'm going to vote against it just because I've got to set up certain travel for my job before him. I set up the travel to be here that week for these subcommittee and board meetings. And so now if we push it back, then I'm gone for both the subcommittee and board meeting. And I understand the election thing. I'm also up this year, but you know, it's sort of like, hey, what are you going to do the day before the big elections? You know, if you didn't study for the test for the months leading up to it, cramming before the big day, what's it going to get us? You know, you can still do some campaign before 6:30. Maybe we can push it back an hour. But by that time, I mean, it's nighttime at 6:30. So, I mean, what more can you do campaign-wise the day before the election? That's my thought.
Any other comments on the motion, Director Thompson?
I'll be out of state on the 7th, so I'm going to miss that date. I could make the 8th, but obviously there's a problem because this is a voting site.
Mm-hmm.
Has discussion been made about having it perhaps on the 4th or the 3rd subcommittee meeting?
You could do that. You could do it either one. You could do the subcommittee anytime before that and keep the board meeting the 10th.
Which I'll miss anyway, but
it's an option.
Can we do it on Wednesday? Hmm? Well, can you have it on Wednesday, Thursday?
Well, I don't think I can make the 17th for the board meeting. But that's my personal problem.
I'll turn them up at 9th. Yeah, 9th and 10th.
The only problem with the 9th is it's a very short window in minutes and just getting that rolled over into the next meeting. I mean, it can be done, but it really puts everybody in a little bit of a bind.
Short windows weren't a concern before.
I mean, you can. I mean, we'll do it, whatever you want, but that's why we proposed the 7th. All right, we currently have a motion on the table to move the November meetings to
the 15th, the 15th
and the 17th.
I got that. All right. I already planned the meetings.
Any I need public comment on
that? No.
No,
Mr. Chair, I'll withdraw my motion. I mean, if that's acceptable with
sure.
I just simply won't be here for that Tuesday meeting. So.
Motion has been withdrawn.
Monday meeting.
Monday,
rather.
Do we, I guess there's nothing really to vote on then at this point.
If they withdrew the motion, though.
Yeah.
No. All right. Director Frost, do you have a comment?
Well, I thought there's somebody say something about moving back an hour or so.
Unless
you want to help
motion.
Anybody?
If it's.
Nope.
Now we're more cramming.
Or, yeah, we're cramming.
Study for your test.
On which date?
Same day. The same day, the 7th, but move it back an hour. Like 7:30 instead of 6:30. Anybody interested in that?
What about the 8th? Move it back after the polls close.
They close at 8.
10:30.
The election's not the 8th, is it?
The election is the 8th.
Election is the 8th.
I don't know where we're at.
It is. Tuesday is the 8th.
Well, this says Monday the 8th.
That's
17th.
No, that's Monday the 7th.
I'm all in favor of keeping it how it is. I think it looks good. So I'm going to go ahead and move on to agenda item 16, the general manager's report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Information education report is attached for September 16th. Some personnel miscellaneous items. We were notified that Jerry Herbster, the longtime park superintendent from 88 to 14, passed away on October 1st from an apparent heart attack. So obviously our thoughts and prayers are with his family and friends. We don't have any idea on arrangements yet, but once we do, we'll get those out if anybody's once they're interested in doing that. Also, is attached some correspondence from the Omaha Bee Club, our friends at the Bee Club, thanking the district for our donation and coordination in some of their programs. And then also, we like to thank Nicole for hosting the summer blood drive, and we exceeded our goal. We even roped in a few people that were just here for meetings to give blood, so that was a good thing. Maybe we'll schedule more next year and just have everybody. District website will be up and running October 20th, Emmett promised me. So a new look, it'll be more accessible, more transparency. We'll have more and easier information and documents that the public can peruse and do research. It will be easier for staff, so for postings and all those other types of things. South Omaha Trail ribbon cutting, November 10th, 2 to 3. You know, the project is finally getting where Jim and Tim can cut the ribbon. So that's a long time coming, and that's a great piece of the trail to get completed.
Where is that?
It's the Cornhusker Marching Band.
Yeah, did you load it?
I didn't send it on to you.
We'll show a video next month of the on the 10th. How's that?
You did it. Building did it?
I didn't. I thought you were going to bring it, but.
We sent an email for the location.
Yes. The City of Omaha is organizing it right now, so they're notifying the media, and we'll coordinate that. But we'll give them we'll give everybody the details of when that will be. Also, the report on purchases, construction services, professional service, personal properties attached for September, and the current ongoing project with the District Legal Counsel. News clips are there for your review. That I typically try to send most of those out to everybody. And that concludes my report.
Thank you, John. Agenda item 17, informational items. Something interesting of note, the next subcommittee meeting will be on the 7th,
giving us an extra day to study the materials before the board meeting on the 10th.
And with that,
it's the 7th.
The 7th it is, yeah. With that, I wish all the candidates in the room best of luck during the election, and we are adjourned.